Well, it's good to be back with you again today, and it always is. You guys mean a lot to us, and we miss you, but we know that God will continue on, and it just isn't us, but we do, and we're thankful for this opportunity. I am. It's not an opportunity, but it's a privilege to come and share God's word with you, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me because I feel like maybe a broken vessel at sometimes and chipped away or stuff, but how our God mends us and molds us each day into that new vessel, and I'm thankful for that. Back when we were living in Sinai, when the kids were young, I had a garage. And just like many of you guys, you had your tools out there, and they were in certain places, and hung up in the right spot where you knew if you went outside or went into the garage that that's where that tool would be. Well, I had a middle son who was always never hardly watched TV much, and he just didn't spend much time in the house. He always liked to be out in the garage and fixing things, or tearing them apart and fixing them. One time I went over there, he had a snowmobile carburetor part, all apart, needle valves and springs laying over. I says, are you going to get that back together? Yeah. Probably about half hour, whoom, whoom, down the street he went with it. So, but it seemed like when he got done with the tools, they were never put where Dad had put them. So I was looking kind of constantly for them, but thankful for his gift of being a mechanic and working on things. In our lesson today, Jesus is also looking for food in the right place, but there's no figs on the fig tree. And we start out in chapter 21 at the start of this is right before Palm Sunday, a few days before Jesus' death. And Jesus is riding into Jerusalem there. And I believe there were a lot of people along the way. It said that on both sides that there were people. And they were who thought that this king that they heard was coming to Jerusalem was would be coming in on a great horse, a warrior's horse, that this king would be dressed in purple and white, and that he would have a crown on, at partially dressed with gold and armor around him, and dressed for a parade for this king that was coming. And it's what they thought they would be seeing. But how did Jesus really enter Jerusalem? Really, it was contrary to their expectations, wasn't it? Quite a few of them. In verse 7 of verse 21 there, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. Jesus rode in on a donkey. I'm sure some were saying, who in the world is this? It's not a king, but it's just an ordinary man. He's riding in on a donkey and not this picture that they had of this king. Maybe a few ooftas in the crowd too. Maybe there was some anger. Maybe there was some disappointment. What they were looking for wasn't what they were looking for. It was a complete opposite. So now in our reading today, Jesus is on his way from Bethany and coming along the road back to Jerusalem with his disciples, and he stops by the roadside to pick some figs off this beautiful fig tree that's growing alongside the road because Jesus is hungry. And through this occurrence, Jesus teaches his disciples a lesson, and we too can apply this to our lives today, spiritual lives. I believe there's 3 points that Jesus was looking for and expects to find in us. So let's turn to Matthew 21, and I'll read 18 through 22. And shall we stand? Matthew 21, 18 through 22, in Jesus' name. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today and a lesson for our disciples and a lesson for us today, that your word never gets old. It is always refreshing to us. It's always new. I thank you for the lessons that come to us as we're reading through the Bible and how your Holy Spirit stops us maybe at a point or a verse and speaks to us. Lord, we need to be spoken to today. We need your love. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. Lord, we're looking and know that you are here, that your presence is here. We pray, God, for each soul represented here, that you would meet their spiritual need. God, how we thirst for you, how we long for you, that there's never a moment, I pray, in our lives that we don't want you. Thank you, God, that you give us choices in our lives too, but that our choices would honor you, that they would be right. God, be with us through this message now. Clear the obstructions from our mind that we can be focused upon you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe the first point, Jesus is looking for evidence of him in our lives. Jesus is looking for evidence of him in our lives. Verses 18 through 19. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. Jesus was attracted to that fig tree because he knew that there would be figs on it, because he was hungry, because he knew that there was food on that tree. As Jesus went up to the tree, there was evidence of green leaves, that it was alive, but there were no figs to be found on that tree. The fig tree was giving a false hope to Jesus. The fig tree wasn't honest with what it was representing, making Jesus curse it. Normally, this fig tree would have bore fruit and have fruit on it, but had nothing, only branches and leaves. So why did Jesus use a fig tree as an example here and for the disciples to be taught that day? Well, the fig tree was really used as a symbol for the nation of Israel, which were God's chosen people. God delighted in Israel when they followed him, when they committed themselves to following him. In Hosea, in the Old Testament, Hosea 9:10, when God found Israel, It was like finding grapes in the desert. And when God saw your forefathers, it was like seeing early fruit of the fig tree, a positive use of the fig tree. Then we find in the New Testament the fig tree used in a negative use. James 3:9-12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Savior. With it we can curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth can come praise and cursing. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You produce what you are. The fig tree does not grow grapes. The grapevine does not grow figs. Friends, our evidence is we're either a Christian or we're not a Christian. There's no in between with God. Jesus values our honesty and representative. What a privilege that is to represent Christ. And I don't know how much that means to you, but it means a lot to me. Each day when I get up, I want to be in God's will, not my will. I want to be serving Him. I want to be telling others about Jesus Christ. There's a lot of lost people out there. Maybe there's some yet here today in this congregation who have not really asked Christ into their life. Are we putting on a false appearance as the fig tree was to Jesus? Are we pretending to be a Christian? Do we claim and stand up for the inerrant, infallible Word of God, the foundation of our Christian faith? Is there evidence that Jesus is first in our lives? Or are we being deceptive to others in our walk with Christ? We find out in the beginning of Genesis, what did Satan use? Adam and Eve, that Satan's key tactic there was deception. He deceived them. And Satan's deception continues on yet today. The Bible is just a book. Taking God's word out of context to justify our sins. There's no hell. No one's going to be lost. We're all going to be saved. You know, we can deceive others, but we can't deceive Christ. We may be able to be like a chameleon to those around us, but there's also one person, and His name is God, who can see through the skin. He can see into our hearts and our souls. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "The Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind our thoughts." Psalms 94:11, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man." We can't hide anything from God. Jesus isn't looking for perfection in us today, but He's looking for evidence of our confession to Him, our honesty with Him, forgiveness, seeking His forgiveness and seeking someone else's forgiveness, maybe. Maybe we have wronged someone. I ask you today, are you being totally honest with Jesus? If not, I call upon you in the name of Jesus that you would get honest with Him. and admit that you are a lost sinner looking for a Savior to come into your life today. So I'll leave point one with you, this challenge. If you are in court today and on trial for being a Christian, could the jury and judge find enough evidence in your Christian life to convict you of being a Christian? I pray that the judges and jury could convict you. Secondly, Jesus is looking for fruit in our lives. I'm all reminded so much of, and it just comes back so regularly, about Earl Nelson, Eldon Nelson's dad, as we were having Sunday school. This was when we were kind of first started the church. And I remember Earl Nelson always saying, we as Christians need to be fruit inspectors. I hope I never forget that. In these verses, Jesus was that fruit inspector. The fig tree wasn't important in itself, but Jesus intended to use it as a lesson for the disciples and for us today. I believe there's two kinds of fruit there. A fruit of repentance, asking Jesus for forgiveness of our sins, asking him into our lives, reminded of Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing in ourselves that we can do. It's all about Christ. Repentance brings forgiveness and grace and our relationship. That's what we're looking for, is a relationship with Christ. And I believe, secondly, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, are others seeing those kind of fruits in our lives? Are we good fruit inspectors? Are we good fruit bearers? Jesus was a fruit inspector that day, and he didn't find any fruit on that fig tree. And Jesus immediately judged that tree, and it withered. When Jesus' word comes to you and me, will it cause a fruit of a repentance? Or will God's word cause you to wither under conviction and judgment? Judgment is a long time. God says people say we have a loving God. Yes, we do. But we have a judge too. A God who is holy that we serve. I pray that this church, and from this pulpit, will always hear the words of truth. That God's word would always go forth from here. That there would never be any deception coming from this pulpit, and from you either. Satan, as we talked about in Bible school or in class there, Satan goes around like a roaring lion. He's ready to deceive. But we have someone greater in us and greater in the world, and that is Christ. Thirdly, Jesus is looking for faith in our lives. In 21 through 22, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what is done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Have faith in me and my word. What I am saying is the absolute truth. Talking about truth, I was drawn to our Calvary brochure on our mission statement and who we're about and our history. And a couple comments about it. And right in the middle it says about our beliefs. We believe that the Bible is inspired and inerrant word of God. It is the only source of truth and the only perfect guide for salvation and spiritual life. God's word always speaks with absolute authority to even social and moral issue of our day. How is our day? Another one, we believe that the preaching of God's word is vital and remains the center of our worship services, which are simple, orderly, and joyful. And lastly, we believe that every Christian has the Holy Spirit upon salvation, who enables him to understand and interpret the scriptures, determine God's will for his life, and participate in fruitful Christian ministry to a needy world. And that's in our brochure. Fruit for the world. Billy Graham said about faith, faith will manifest itself in three ways. In doctrine, I'm so thankful for our doctrine, our AFLC stand on our doctrine, an errant word of God. Also worship. A Christian once said to his minister, I can worship God just as easily in my garden as I can in a church pew. Later on, the two men were sitting before a fireplace in which the embers glowed. Silently, the minister went to the fireplace, took the tongs, and lifted a single glowing coal from the fire and placed it alone on the hearth. Soon it became black ash. The church neglecting Christian said, Ah, you need not say a word. I understand what you mean. I cannot worship alone anymore, and I can live alone. I'll be in my place at church next Sunday. Worship should be a priority in our lives. Thirdly, our fellowship, Hebrews 10:25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Sometimes we use church as a convenient when it's convenient to us. If it fits into our schedule, we'll go to church. I know we're all busy people, but again, it comes down to what are you looking for? And the day that it talks about here in this verse is a capital D. That day could be today. Christ is coming. And I'm thankful for that because I know him as my personal Savior. But I hope you'll be happy it is coming too. But to those who do not know him, it's going to be a sad day. Our faith doesn't end after we ask Christ into our lives either. That's only the beginning. Our faith continues on. It grows. Faith becomes stronger in our lives. It helps us to move those mountains of sin, guilt, pride, sorrow, worry, just to name a few, as our lives go along. Are you dealing maybe today with a mountain of your past mistakes? Maybe failures in life. Going down the wide road instead of the narrow road. Maybe a setback financially. Maybe gambling, maybe pornography, Maybe your marriage is breaking apart. We see that in Genesis 2. What was the first thing as Satan went along with the deception was marriage, wasn't it? How Satan loves to work in marriages and break them apart. Break families apart. Jesus is looking for fruit, his fruit in our lives. And always remember that he can, if it is, will remove those mountains. Maybe it's a mountain of physical, maybe a cancer, maybe tests, or maybe it's a mountain of whatever. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So in closing, what can God expect to find in our lives today? Is there evidence of a godly Christian who repents, who asks God for forgiveness, who loves, who reveals the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? Love, joy, peace, understanding. Is there evidence of the fruit of joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself third. Evidence of godly faith. A wise man built his house upon the sand? No. A wise man built his house upon the rock. The rock of Jesus Christ. The faith that God instills in us through his Holy Spirit. So are you a healthy fig tree today? Are you producing fruit? John 15:5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Be grafted into that vine. Grow on that vine. It's the only way that we continue on in our Christian relationship with him. Was adhering to that vine, a true vine that's alive and alive in us today, to remain in him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words again today. I thank you, Lord, that you are the vine and we are the branches. And it also talks in those verses about that you will trim those branches. Lord, I just pray that each one here today, as they've heard your word, would take them to heart. Maybe even consider them would be a joy. Knowing, God, that you're here, that your presence is amongst us. Thank you, Lord, that we always look to you, that we always look up to you for our needs, and how you continually bless us beyond our imagination. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Aaron, Michelle now, and for that answer to prayer. Thank you for this congregation who loves you, that the foundation and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And I pray that all that will always be. In thy name we pray. Amen.